Well, I'm excited tonight. I'm going to be preaching from Galatians 2, verse 20, which maybe some of you are familiar with. But man, it's just awesome. God's word is so awesome and so encouraging and trains us and teaches us and reproves us and corrects us and challenges us and all of these things all at one time. And so the Lord, it was cool because we encouraged people to pick up a missionary biography. And there was one left. And so I picked it up and I'd never heard of this couple before, John and Betty Stamm, which I will show you a picture of later. But they actually, I had already felt, and I was preaching and communion was tonight. And it was interesting because the only biography left, this couple was martyred for their faith. And I felt like the Lord just wove their story into an understanding of our need to die to self and of what Jesus did on the cross. And so that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. So we're going to read Galatians 2:20 if you want to stand. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I have this in the King James, which I normally, if you put that in the King James, Jacob, normally I read out of New King James, but just this verse, we're going to read in King James. Actually, let's just read it all together because I just feel to do that. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, I just want to challenge you before you be seated. Let's just take, I'm just going to say a prayer. And as Christians, it is not only necessary, but expected that we would live a life that is crucified with Christ. Like, it's not optional that we not die to self. That is a requirement for us as Christians, because as Christians, we submit our life to live as he lived and as he calls us to live. And so I just want us to take a moment, and I'm just going to pray a prayer of consecration. And if you are in agreement, then I would challenge you to pray it with me. Father, thank you for what you have done in bringing your son, Jesus. And we, right now, at Hidden Treasures, we consecrate ourselves to live lives that are crucified with you, Lord Jesus Christ. That every day that we would live crucified to self, obedient to you, and surrender to your will, whatever that brings for our lives, we offer to you our lives in consecration to you and ask you to strengthen us and enable us, as we know that you will do, to live the life that you have called us to live, whatever that looks like, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So it says, I am crucified with Christ. So death to self, as I said, is not only necessary, but expected. It is expected that we would die to self. I was thinking about dying to self and how that often means dying to selfishness. My needs, my wants, my expectations, my dreams, my feelings, my, all of those things. And so Romans 6, 1 through 3 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who die to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus, so if you have been baptized in water, there is a reason why we baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So when we are baptized in water, it is a picture of being baptized into his death, into dying to self and being raised to life in Christ. So this says, as many as of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death. A couple of weeks ago on Wednesday night, we're working through the book of Matthew and through some of the other gospels, discussing the red letters that Jesus spoke. And John and James's mother came to Jesus and asked if they could sit on the right and the left hand of Jesus. And Jesus' question was, are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said, yes, we are. And he said, you will indeed be baptized. Now, he was talking about the baptism of dying to self, of persecution, of surrender, of giving their lives to Christ. And he said, you will indeed be baptized, but sit on my right and my left is not given to me. And it's prepared for those that the Father has prepared it for. But it made me think of this verse. And then Rick shared these scriptures Wednesday night, verse 4. But we'll look at that one later. But death to self, if you put up the first slide, Jacob, death to self is three things. It is ongoing. I would love if I died to self years ago when I gave my life to Jesus as a child, and it was a one-time deal, one and done. I, you know, there's no more dying to self. I'm finished with that. But it's not that way. It is an ongoing death to self, death to my attitude that wants to have my own way, death to my pride that doesn't want to humble itself, death to my flesh that doesn't want to, you know, sometimes do what God is asking me to do. So it is ongoing and constant, which is pretty much the same thing, but it is a constant, ongoing thing. But the third thing, it is life altering. When we die to self, when we are crucified with Christ, it alters not only our future and our eternal life and our future tense of where we end up and how we live our lives, but it alters our moment by moment, hour by hour daily life. Because as we submit to Him, the change comes as we die to self and live to Christ. So this says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. We're not dead, obviously, physically. We live this life. But it says, nevertheless I live. We live crucified with Him. Now, this was very interesting. I have never studied this to this degree. If you put up the next slide, when it says in the Greek word, I am crucified with Christ, it's actually two Greek words that are translated to say, I am crucified with Christ. The first Greek word means in a figurative sense to extinguish or subdue passion or selfishness. I need to do that every day. Extinguish my selfishness to live Christ-like. The second word, the other, is a primary preposition denoting union with or together by association, companionship, process, resemblance, possession. All of those words just speak of us being united with Christ in His death. We begin to resemble Christ as we die to self. We start to look more like Jesus. It is a process that we go through. There is companionship with Jesus as we die to self and as we are crucified with Him. Now, this is what's awesome, is that we aren't crucified alone. Jesus suffered alone. Even the Father had to turn away because of our sin. He died on the cross alone. I mean, you know, even His closest disciples fled Him. Now, eventually, we know, because the Bible says that they were all scattered. So my assumption is that eventually John came back, because we see that John is actually standing at the foot of the cross. But it says that all of them left Him. So even John obviously initially ran away. So all of His disciples, we know that Peter denied Him, and all of His closest friends on earth, the ones that He spent the most time with. So He was crucified alone. But what's often awesome is that we don't have to be. When we are crucified with Christ. He is with us in that crucifixion. And that's what I want you to understand, is that it's not an alone. We don't have to do it alone. Now, your flesh will tell you you are alone. Your feelings will tell you you are alone. And I'm telling you, the longer that I walk with the Lord, the more that I realize, the more that I accept God's word as truth, and I defy my feelings in order to receive the word into my spirit, the more that the word is life and it changes my feelings to come in line with the truth of His word. So when I feel alone in the midst of suffering or in the midst of struggle or in the midst of sacrifice, I have to tell myself I am not alone, because Jesus said He would never leave or forsake me. And I tell my feelings, you are a liar. And Jesus, your word is true. And I know that you are here with me. And you'll be surprised sometimes the authority that will rise up in you when you begin to do that. It really is amazing. But you have to learn to defy the flesh in order to walk in the Spirit. That's why it says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because we can't do that unless we are walking in the Spirit. So we are crucified with Him. The rest of the verse says, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Our lives are not meant to be lived for ourselves, by ourselves. That is the sadness that a lot of people in the world experience. They live by themselves and for themselves. And it's a vicious cycle of living for themselves, and they end up living by themselves, because selfishness is a very lonely life. And as long as we are selfish, people will never do enough for us. We will always be unsatisfied. We will never have enough. It's a vicious cycle. But as Christians, we don't have to live by ourselves, and we don't have to live for ourselves. We are called to live for Him and with Him and to Him. And that gives us our purpose in life, no matter what we're doing. And so our lives are meant to be united with Him. Romans 6:5 says, "For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection." So when we are united together in death, we are united together in resurrection. And so the death part comes first. We have to die to the flesh. The scripture says that throughout. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. That means kill the deeds of the flesh. The things that we know are ungodly, tell it to die. Die, flesh. You know, and that's that. As we do that, we are united to Him, with Him in death, and then we are raised in resurrection. Now, the rest of the verse says, "Not I, but Christ lives in me." Colossians 3, 2 and 3. And I'll let Jacob, I'm flying through those verses really fast. But Colossians 3, 2 and 3 says, "Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died," and I love this verse, "and your life is hidden with Christ in God." What a picture. Like, I have often prayed that, "Jesus, will you just hide me in you?" Like, our life is hidden with Christ. Why? Because we are crucified with Him. And it's the companionship that we have as we walk that life. So this couple, you put up that next PowerPoint. John and Betty Stamm live there. Or John. Okay, yeah. John, Betty, and Helen. Helen is the baby. So John, Betty, and Helen Stamm. John and Betty lived lives dedicated to God. They submitted their lives to go to the mission field of China. And in fact, because their lives were hidden in Christ and His desire became theirs, it was their great desire to go to China. This is the cool thing, is the probably many of you have heard and quoted and stood on Psalm 37:4, "Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart." What's awesome is that if we really delight ourselves in Him, His desires begin to become our desires, and He begins to change our hearts so that we desire to do the things that He is calling us to do. And that's what happened with this couple. They gave their lives as martyrs, though, when the communists invaded their city and captured and killed them. But they had already surrendered their lives to Jesus, so only their earthly lives could be taken. They had already surrendered their lives fully to the Lord Jesus. And so their eternal lives were secure. Their three-month-old daughter, who was left at one of the stops on the journey because they came to their house, they commanded them to come with them, they brought the baby with them, and then they marched them 12 miles. And at one of the stops, the mother left the baby. She pinned two $5 bills, which was, you know, a lot of money back then, to the baby's diaper. And then later, when the baby was found, which was the baby, one story said 30 hours, one said 24 hours later, the baby was left alone all that time. But she was found, and she was perfectly fine, hungry and wet and tired, but fine, and lived the rest of her life, was raised by her grandparents because a couple of Chinese Christians helped her, and they eventually got her to her grandparents. But many others, though, gave their lives in service to missions upon hearing of the martyr of John and Betty, and the people of the city unusually were greatly moved at the story of their sacrifice. They were buried overseas in China, and they were moved by their story. They were willing to serve God to the death if that's what His call on their lives led to. And it is. It's what God called them to do. But their parents, Christians as well, were submitted to God's plan for their children. In fact, initially, when John was feeling a call to go to China, his father sent a letter to him and said, "Why think of China or India when there are other countries more open?" But after weeks of prayer and months passed, eventually the father wrote to his son, "May the Lord richly bless you and guide you by His Holy Spirit to do His will." because they submitted their children to the Father and to his will and work. John wrote to the missionary society that they were connected with after he and his family had been captured this letter. He said, "Dear brethren, my wife, baby, and myself are today in the hands of the communists in the city of Tingxi." I don't know how to say that word. "Their demand is $20,000 for our release. All our possessions and stores are in their hands, but we praise God for peace in our hearts and a meal tonight. God grant you wisdom in what you do and us fortitude, courage, and peace of heart. He is able and a wonderful friend in such a time. Things happened so quickly this AM. They were in the city just a few hours after the ever persistent rumors really became alarming, so that we could not prepare to leave in time. We were just too late. The Lord bless and guide you. And as for us, may God be glorified, whether by life or by death in him." And they glorified God. Their death was quick, but it was, they were martyred for the sake of the Lord. Galatians 5:22-24. Paul said, "None of these things move me." When they told him, it had been witnessed to him that he was going to endure all types of persecutions and tribulations once he got to Jerusalem. Would you put that scripture up? Galatians 5, we'll read 22-24. And Paul said, "And now, see now, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. I love this. But none of these things move me. Nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." I just want to say, a lot of times, you know, we look at missionaries and we look at the lives of these people that have served God to such a great extent, and we think, I'm not there and I can't be there. We can all be there. We can be. Paul was human. He wasn't supernatural other than the supernatural connection that he had with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. We can be that same level of dedication. When we understand that our lives are crucified with Christ, we die with him and we live with him. Just like I read earlier, Romans 6:5 says, "If we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection." And if you put up 2 Corinthians 5:15, Jacob, the main scripture that God put on my heart, Galatians 2:20, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." We live by the faith of the Son of God. This 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, "And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." The more that we understand that our lives are not our own. 1 Corinthians 6 says, "You are not your own, you are bought with a price." And we understand that our lives have been bought with a Christ, with a price. We learn to die to self by doing it every day. By children, when your parents tell you to do something and you don't want to, you die to self. Because the Bible says, honor your father and mother. And you do what they're telling you to do, not what you want to do, because you're a Christian and because you're submitted to the Word of God. As teenagers and adults, when we are dealing with an attitude and we know we need to humble ourselves, or we need to apologize, or we need to, you know, spend time in prayer instead of watching television. One of the times that God spoke to me in a very specific real time, I really wanted to be watching TV in that moment. And I was watching TV actually. And I realized TV, the show that I was about to watch was about to come on. And I really wanted to watch it, but I realized I hadn't read my Bible, and I was reading my Bible, and the chapter didn't finish. It ended on a comma and it kept going. And I'm like, and that was way before DVR. I couldn't record it. If I missed it, I missed it. It was over, you know? And so I was like, I can't stop reading this to go watch television. And I'm so thankful I didn't, because God really spoke to me in that time. Listen, When we die to self, whatever it looks like, if it looks like, you know, staying up or getting up to have devotions or staying up to read our Bible or saying no to, you know, the flesh that wants to respond to someone in the wrong way or going back to apologize after we have responded to someone in the wrong way, you know, multiple ways that we die to self. But as we do that, we are being crucified with Christ. That is how it works. And as we do that, we are becoming more like him as we surrender to him. So we live with Christ. We die to self and we live with Christ all day, every day, no matter what we do or who we're with. Because no part of our life is above his ability to lead us. Like there is nothing that we do that he is not able to show us how to do it better and to walk with us and strengthen us to accomplish it. And so, as we die, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I die daily. As we die to self, we live with him. And our lives lived daily for him allow us to walk in closer communion with him. Before we close, or before we move into communion, I want to read you two more sets of scriptures. Philippians 3:10 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. This scripture used to be perfectly honest, used to really scare me because I've shared with y'all before that I used to have a real fear of like, not really death. Cause I've not really been afraid of death for as long as I can remember just cause like quick death, go ahead, send me to heaven. You know, I know where I'm going. But like the long drawn out torturous death, that was very scary for me. And so verses like this, honestly just scared me. But it was the neatest thing. There was a time in my life that God asked me to do something that was very hard for me to do. It was very taxing. It wasn't physically taxing. It was emotionally taxing. And I didn't understand why, but I felt very specific. I asked God for multiple confirmations, and every time he confirmed it through his word, through things that I was reading. After a time, though, the season was over. And in the day following, God showed me the reason why he had asked for my obedience. With that realization came one of the closest feelings I've ever had to experiencing his heart. I remember where I was still. Like I can picture where I was when it happened. And it was in those moments that I understood this verse, the fellowship of his sufferings. Because when we understand his heart, there is a level of fellowship that comes with walking with him and with obeying him and with saying yes to him when it's hard on us, because he will reveal himself to us. He will reveal his heart to us. He longs to reveal his heart. And as he reveals his heart, we sometimes will see the hurt that he deals with as the Father. We'll see his hurt, but when we see his hurt, we'll also see his love. And our willingness to follow him in our lives by dying to self gives us access into deeper relationship with him and a power that comes from walking closely with him. So we celebrate communion to remember what Christ did, because his death is not only what saves and heals us, but what gives us power over sin. See, we are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Because my life is hidden in Christ, I can draw on his power, on his strength, on his ability. And that comes through faith. It doesn't come often because I feel so powerful. But like just the other day, I felt like the Lord kept bringing this verse, endure hardness as a good soldier. And my scaredy self was like, Lord, what is coming? Like, why are you telling me this verse? And what do I need to prepare myself for? But it's so neat because as I began to think on it, I thought about David, that when he went running at that giant, he was not fearing. He said, I will take your head from you and feed you to the birds of the air. And I thought, that's how I want to be running into a battle. Just like David. David didn't do that because he was super brave on his own. He did that because he was so connected to God that the authority rose up in him. And he went running at that giant. And I thought, I can run into battle just like that. David is not, you know, I can be just like David. And so, you know, I just started stealing myself, you know, and sometimes God is just teaching us. It might not be that I'm about to go through some terrible thing. Like God is just teaching me endure hardness, learn how to walk as a soldier. And he's good to do that with us. Romans 6, 6 through 8 says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, of sin. For he who died has been freed from sin. For if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Now, we know that we're going to live with him in eternity, but I'm telling you, we can live with him down here. Like, we can live in communion and fellowship with him and walk with him. Amen? So, as we prepare for communion, I just want to read these verses because, you know, communion is not only, and I know you guys know this, but it reminds us not only what Christ did for us, but what power we are afforded, the healing that comes because of what he did on the cross, the ability that we have to walk with him because of what his death purchased on the cross. So 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 32, I'm going to read these verses, and then we're going to have a video that plays, and we'll just take some time to examine ourselves like the Word of God says. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." Hebrews 10:31 says, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." It's vital that we understand when we go into communion that we allow God to examine our heart. You know, there is this balance between understanding the love and grace of God and understanding the need to have a fear of God. And so I just challenge you, open your heart and say to God, "God, search me and see if there is any wicked way in me." If the Lord brings something, don't stay in condemnation and walk out of this place feeling guilty and condemned. The Holy Spirit brings things to the surface so that we can say to God, "God, would you forgive me?" Because Jesus died a painful death so that we could be forgiven. So as this video plays, just allow the Holy Spirit to examine you, but then go further. Don't stay there. If you stay there in that examination phase and you don't allow God to bring you out of that, you will walk in condemnation. That's not how we're called as Christians to walk. We allow God to examine us so that we can be forgiven and walk in his grace and power. And so we repent and he forgives us and we walk in that forgiveness and in that love that he offers us, so that we can take communion together and remember our Lord. Amen.